welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. Today's message will give you biblical keys on how to see, give, and receive God's grace. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
We're in week four of a series that we've been doing called Grace Like a Flood. And a lot of people don't understand why we would spend this much time on a series of grace. There's a lot sexier sermon series I could do. Like, I could do a series called Breakthrough. Everybody would love that because it means like I'm about to break through and I'm about to go. I could do a series called Momentum, like getting up to the speed of God. Or I could do a series like No Haters. And everybody would, Pastor Mike, no haters. Like, you would do that, okay? But I've been stuck on this message of grace because I feel like it's one of the least understood messages in the body of Christ. We have two extremes. You either have people that like, you don't have to do anything. Don't believe, don't say, don't do nothing. Jesus has done it all. Just live, stay the same. And that's this extreme version of grace. And then you have this other side. Are you chewing bubble gum? Hell. Is that earrings? You're going to hell. Is that lipstick? Hell. Are you eating Chick-fil-A? Hell. Like, it's like these two extremes. And so the church stays silent because they don't want to offend either side. They want people in the pews. They need money. I don't care about that. I care about you getting the truth of God's word. And anytime you need a defining line of what the truth should be, you go to God's word. And God is so clear about it, but many of us don't have any understanding. Number one, because many of our churches, we didn't grow up hearing about this. And number two, a lot of us don't study to show ourselves approved. And so it's one of those things that the church is like, duh. Not in this church. We're going to be maturing believers. Not perfect, but maturing. We got to keep growing. And so this series is slated to have a couple more weeks. And I said slated because I've been studying some new stuff. And we might roll this series all the way into the summer. Because I'm telling you, if you get this, it changes everything. Last week, we talked about how God, in his amazing grace, has saved all of us, but we have a part to play in it. So we are saved by grace through faith. Like, and I want everybody to write that down and everybody to understand that, because you gotta know that God's doing the saving, but you gotta put your faith in him. And that is the cornerstone of the entire message. Now, I didn't say you have to put your faith in him and then change everything and start working and start doing all this other stuff. I didn't say all that. Man says that. Religion says that. And they're saying that you can't get the love of God without doing all these things. No. God loves you and always cares for you and is always there for you no matter what. But faith in him allows you to receive the grace of God. And that's good news, because the grace of God is the unmerited, unearned, and undeserved favor and kindness of God. And I don't know about you, but I have not done everything perfect. And God, I need his grace. Yes. And many of us don't know that, and many of us don't think that, and many of us think that we got here by ourselves. And somehow you think, well, I earned that degree, and I'm... How did you wake up this morning? No. Tell me. How did you start your heart? How did you tell your feet to get out the bed? How did the millions of organs on the inside of you start functioning properly and you had to pee when you woke up this morning? No. See, everything is being held up and sustained by the grace of God. And the problem is, that's the truth, but we don't recognize it. That's the truth, but we don't live like it. And so today, I want to take us further into this. And I want you to turn to a pretty famous passage of scripture in Romans 10:13. But this is where we're going to go in part kind of today and allow you to see some truth in God's word. This scripture says, for whoever, somebody say whoever. That includes the people you don't like. whoever again.
Whoever.
That includes the people who do you wrong. Say whoever one more time.
Whoever.
That includes the people that you've hated. I love the Bible because it doesn't exclude based on my preferences and opinion. And this is where religion comes in, because we want to exclude people based on our preferences and our opinions. So we don't like people that do this. Let's create a religion that keeps them out. We don't like people who do this. Let's create a religion or a denomination that celebrates the thing that they're not. Like, and God said, everybody, just one more time, say whoever.
Whoever.
Look what it says. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the drug addict. That's the prideful. Didn't it say whoever? That's the self-righteous person. That's the abusive alcoholic family member. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, my message is very simple, but really deep. And the title is so simple, but really, really deep. Write this down. I am saved. That's the title of today's message. I am saved. I want you to say it with me. Everybody say, I am saved. Duh. I need you to put the exclamation on the ED. Let's do it one more time. Say it loud. I am saved. Duh. Somebody got spit on right there. Somebody got spit on. This is what I need everybody to know, that this word saved is past tense. It's telling us something that has been done. And so I want to look at this word saved in the Greek, and the word is sozo, and it's spelled S-O-Z-O, but it's kind of spelled like soda, like sozo, okay? Let me tell you some of the definitions of sozo, or being saved. To save, to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction, to save a suffering one from perishing, to preserve one who is in danger of destruction, to deliver from the penalties of the judgment, to make one whole, spirit, soul, and body. Saved. Today I only have 2 points, but I really only have one burden. And this is my one burden. So basically I'm gonna give you 1 point, and then the next point is, so what do we do now, okay? My only point for today is salvation is eternal, past, present, and future. Salvation is eternal, past, present, and future. Look what Romans 6:23 says. It says, for the wages of sin is death. Now, everybody know that. We be using that on people. You sinning, you just out here. But you know the wages of sin is death. And we use that all the time to try to fear people in to doing the right thing. I want to help everybody. Fear never keeps anybody in a relationship. Never. That's an abusive relationship. And what the church has done is tried to make people scared of hell and tried to sell people like, you sinning, you know the wages of sin is death. Read the rest of the verse. Because we're trying to sell people on the bad part of the verse, or the consequence part of everything that happens, instead of the good things. When the last time you bought something because they sold you on the bad parts of it? They don't sell you a car based on what could happen. Like, if you don't get this car today, it could burn up and it could, like, they don't do that. They show you all the features and they tell you everything that's good with it. Read the rest of the verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, another translation says the free gift of God, which is grace, is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Sometimes I wish I could just flip verses so you see the good part first. Like, why can't we tell people, yo, there is an amazing gift for you called eternal life. Like, and if you just put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you believe in him, you get to live for, I know, you get to live, I know, it's crazy. I know, but the owner of this whole thing came up with this plan that if we put our faith in Jesus, that everything gets changed. Like the attitude that you can't change, the habits that you can't change, that cussing habit that just keeps like, it's like a tick. Like, it just, it, like you, yo, all of that is included. And check me out. This is why this deal is so good. Because the wages of your sin or the payment for your sin is death. That sounds so much more appealing. When we present people with the gospel, I need everybody to know what gospel actually means. It's not a Fred Hammond or a Kirk Franklin song. That's not gospel. That's just a type of music. Like gospel means good news. And we as a church have been trying to sell people on the bad news. You're going to hell. No, let's sell them on the good news. You've been redeemed. You've been saved. You've been healed. You've been justified. There's more for your life than what you're living right now if you believe in him. And so when I look at this, I get a burden because I need people to know that when you put your faith in Christ, you are saved, past, present, and future. It is eternal because we serve an eternal God. And I know some of y'all are looking at me like, what are you saying, Pastor Mike? We're going to go to the scriptures. Today is a lot of Bible. Because if you get a lot of me, you're going to think I came up with this. I want you to see that this is all in the word of God. 1 John 2:25, it says, and this is the promise that he, Jesus, has promised us, eternal life. John 5:13, and I love this scripture. These things I have written to you who believe. Everybody say believe.
Believe.
In the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I love this because it doesn't say that we may hope we have eternal life. A lot of people are living like their salvation is a gamble. Like, yeah, I said the prayer and I know Jesus, but I don't know. Like, I don't, you know what I'm saying? We're going to get there one day and they just going to be like, access denied. Like, I don't know. Like, and that's how we live. You may not say that, but you're always on the fence. This scripture is saying when you put your faith and you believe in Jesus Christ, not with your head, but with your heart. Like when you really do this thing, you can know that you are saved. Can I be very frank with you? 28 years of my life, I used to think, like, if the rapture happened when I had a bad moment, I was doomed. I don't know about you, but I had a real experience like this. I came into the house one day, and you had it too? I came into the house one day. I was living kind of wild. I wasn't doing everything right. I put my faith in Christ, but you know, I still had my slip-ups, and I just thought, if he cracked the sky at the wrong moment, dang. Come on, some of y'all sitting here just like that right now. She's like, me right here, please. And so I came into the house one night, and I was staying at my parents' house, and literally everybody was gone. Water was running. Door was open. Y'all, refrigerator was open. I don't know if y'all ever seen the movie Left Behind, but that mug, everybody gone, planes crashing. Stuff happened. I came in, and you know how you'd be like, stop playing. Hello? Hello? Mama, 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 daddy, daddy. Like, I was grown man. I went outside, ran to see if anybody was outside. There were still cars moving. I said, they got left behind too. I said, y'all, I was freaking out. What did I do? I came in the house. I turned all the TVs on the TBN. I turned them all on. Yeah. Maybe he's running back around. Maybe this was the first trip. Maybe they gotta make one more stop. I'm gonna catch the second. Come on. But I just thought, like, if I had a bad day or if I messed up or if I missed it. But what God's trying to let us know is that when we believe in him, that we are not temporarily saved. We are saved. Like this wasn't a moment. This now, because he's an eternal God. And I know we don't understand the concept of eternity. Because when we think eternal, we think from where we are to the future and beyond. But eternal means God stands outside of time. Like he doesn't have a reference for time except what we've created on this earth. And because all of us have a start date and an ending date, we don't understand eternal. That means that he was before. That's it. Before what, Pastor Mike? Before. Like, do you understand what I'm saying? And I know that's a hard concept for us to understand. And Moses had the same problem because God was talking to Moses in the Old Testament. And he said, I want you to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses said, God, you know I have a speak. I can't talk good. And you want me to walk up to the highest power up in here and be able to tell them to let my people go. Nope. This is what the Bible says. He said, I'll send Aaron with you and he can speak for you, but go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Okay. Who should I tell them told me to do this? Tell them I am sent you. I am what? Because I'm eternal, I can't say I am anything because I was before that. So tell them I am that I am. Oh, come on. Tell them that the one who stands outside of time and looks at your situation, tell them the one who created them and gave. See, this should be encouragement to somebody because your situation is not new to God. He stands outside of time and he says, tell them I am sent you. And this is the concept of eternal salvation, is that God, when he saves you, he doesn't just save you from where you are to the future. He goes back and he washes your past. And most of us don't live our life washed and cleansed from our past. So we're messing up our present, guilty about the past, and negating our future. Because we don't realize that we are saved. Oh, this is gonna be good. God is trying to tell all of you that I'm not a temporary fix. I was, I am, and I am to come. You know, that's a popular phrase in church, the God who is, who was, and who is to come. But John wrote that, and it's 5 times in Revelations. And I want to show them to you so you can know that God is eternal. He's outside of all of this, which affects our salvation. Revelations 1:4. It says, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. Okay, look at Revelations 1:8. Jesus said this one. He said, I am the Alpha and Omega. Do you know what that is? It's the Alpha, the beginning, the Omega, the end. He clarifies it. He said, because y'all don't understand eternity, so I'm gonna make this real plain for you. I'm the beginning and the end. He says, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Revelations 4:8, the 4 living creatures, each having 6 wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day and night singing. This is the song, by the way, that we're gonna sing in heaven forever, so you might wanna study it right now so you don't have to look at the screens in heaven. Okay. We're gonna sing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Revelations 11:17, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come. Revelation 16:5, and I heard the angels of the water saying, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Somebody should give God praise right there. Pastor Mike, why am I excited about that? Because when you get saved, he's not just saving your present. When you put your faith and belief in Jesus, because he's eternal, you are experiencing salvation past, present, and future. And until you realize this, you do not live your best life. So let me help you. Let's talk about salvation for a minute, okay? And this changed my life, and I believe it's gonna change yours. Okay, so we said the God who was, who is, and is to come. Modern day terms, he's the God of your past, he's the God of your present, and he is the God of your future. Okay? So we got it. Now, it said that he's the God who was, he's the God who, y'all help me, we in class today. Was, is, and is to come. Okay? Now, I want you to understand this, because when you get this picture, it changes how you look at salvation. So when you believe, you, let's say it like this, have been saved. Okay? You are being every day, every moment, every time you step, you are being saved. Ooh, I love it. And I will be. Let this sink in. Like at salvation, when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, he's not the God of just my present. He's the God of my past, my present, and my future. He's the God who was, who is, and is to come. He's the God that has allowed me to know that I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. Let me take it one step further, because some of you are like, okay, I'm really trying to understand all of the extrapolations of what you were saying, Pastor Mike, but break it down just a little further. I got you. When you put your faith in Jesus, what Christ did is save you from the penalty of sin. And what you deserved, he took. And now, every day, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are being saved from the power of sin. And one day, when we get our glorified bodies and we're in heaven with him, we will be saved from the presence of sin. Because in heaven, there will be no more sin. If you get this, it changes everything. So at the moment, in my present, when I say, Father God, I believe you lived and you died just for me. I believe that you have risen with all power and that you can overcome the sin and hurt in my life. God does not just say, okay, from here on, I got you. I don't know if you've ever had a contract or somebody to pay you money, but if you were doing a service for a longer time than they were paying you, sometimes what they'll do is they'll backdate your payment. And they'll say, we just came into contract right now, but I'm gonna backdate and I'm gonna pay you since you've been doing the service. I'm gonna pay you back. What God does, this is the only concept I can help us think, is whenever you enter into salvation at 15, at 23, at 43, at 93, God says from wherever you are, when you put your faith in me, I'm a backdate and I'm gonna pay for your sins from the first one you did to the ones you're doing right now. And guess what? I'm better than you, so I'm gonna do the ones you gonna do too. Now, some of y'all who act like hell should be praising God right there, because this is good news that we don't get saved to then begin earning and paying for everything we already did. And this is what keeps most of the church paralyzed, is because we become a new creature in Christ, but we can't forget what we did. We're still dealing with past hangups, hobbies, habits, people, homies, all the H words you want to put in there. We're still dealing with those things, and it makes us feel like we haven't changed. And God said, what you got to realize is you haven't changed. I changed everything for you. When you put your faith in me, I backdated your salvation, and I wasn't the God who just is and is to come. I'm the God who was. So when you put your faith in me, I wash your sins, not the ones you're you're doing now and the ones you're gonna commit. But I go back and that molestation that happened and that hurt that happened and that unforgiveness that happened and those pains and those people you hurt and the things you said, I wash all of it. See, and I can tell by the clap you still don't believe it. Because innate in us, when we receive a good gift, we feel obligated to pay the person back. Come on, y'all know. If somebody walked up to you right now and gave you a car, the first thing you'd be like is, what's the catch? What do you want me to do? And after you accepted, you'd be like, well, let me know if you need anything. If you ever need anything, if you ever need anything, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock. You don't really mean that, but you feel that you're in debt to that person. And that's how people serve God, in debt. And he said, how can you be in debt to something I did for free? Unless you put yourself in it. And that's what we do. We get saved, but I'm still not worthy. How could God ever use somebody like me? Why would God? Why not? Why wouldn't he? The Bible tells us, yeah, you got a jacked up past and a messed up present, but God's looking at your future. He doesn't see you through your situation. He sees you through what he created you to be. And so what God says is he says, you know what? Yeah, I like doing this. I like taking jacked up things and making them beautiful. I like doing this. He says it like this. I use the foolish things. You to confound the why. I'll take somebody who didn't go to seminary, who doesn't dress in a suit, who had a felony case 5 years ago, and I'll raise him up to be a voice to the nation because I like taking foolish things. Yeah, you wouldn't have picked it, but I did because I am. What I'm trying to tell you is that how you look at you is not how God looks at you. And if you could ever get a visual image of how God at salvation washes you, not from this point to that point, but for your whole, it's an eternal salvation. And that's why you can stand and say, I am saved. Let's go to English class. In English classes, we learned about suffixes. Okay? An ED is a suffix that explains, usually put on a verb, that explains that this was done in the past tense. So I can say, I will climb the mountain. I haven't done it yet. That talks about that I will or I want to do that. But if I tell you I've climbed the mountain, you already know that it's already happened. Let me tell you some ED words that God says about you when you put your faith in him. He says you're saved. That's not about to be saved or in the process of saving. You are saved. Come on, say it with me. I know it's a little awkward, but say, I am saved. And then it says stuff like this. I'm justified. I like this one. Redeemed. See, what you don't realize is that God is not calling you these things at a future, more mature, politically correct Christian condition. I don't know why I'm doing this. At the moment you put your faith in Christ, he calls you saved, justified, redeemed. Oh, I got another one. Accepted. He says we're accepted into the beloved. Do y'all hear what I'm saying to you? This is one that doesn't have an ED, but it's a past tense, forgiven. If you would catch this, that you have been forgiven. One more, sanctified. You're going to walk around all week putting the ED on everything. I'm telling you. You're going to say, well, how was your day today? I worked. I'm telling you. Because once you get this revelation that I am, help me, saved. It's a work that God did, and it was all in him. And let me tell you why this is so important. Because if you realize, and today I'm going to focus more on the past tense, because I feel like that the present and the future are important, but this is what most people are struggling with. Their past. Past habits, past hobbies, past relationships, past broken promises, past. And if we can understand what God has done for us through salvation, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, when we believe in our past, it changes how we see our present and our future. Let me help you. Because if you understand what God did at salvation, you will have peace in your present and have faith for your future. That's if you understand. This is if you understand. But what happens if you don't understand, which many of us don't? We have pressure in our present. And we have fear of the future. God, what's going to happen? I don't know if I'm going to get this job. I don't know if they're going to accept me into this school. I don't even know. I don't even know if I'm going to get married. I don't even know if I don't even know. I don't even know. Stop! That lets me know that you haven't really experienced being saved. The Bible tells us that he's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. It tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, make our requests known, that we're talking to a God who has already known the plan before you were formed in your mother's womb. He says the birds don't worry about what they're going to eat. The lilies don't get up and what color am I going to put on today? What clothes am I? He says, I dress them. How much more? For the one that I call accepted, redeemed, saved, forgiven, sanctified. Guys, when you get this, you stop caring about your circumstance. Because if it ain't good, it ain't over. Like when my faith is in God, if it ain't good, it ain't, oh, this is just a test that is setting me up for a bomb testimony. Like this is just a trial that is gonna give God glory. This is just a mess that's gonna turn into my message. But you have to realize that that only comes when you truly realize what Christ has done for you, past, present, and future. Somebody with all the faith that you have, say, I am saved. Some of y'all are still, you're looking at me kind of crazy. So we're going to keep going into this. See, I have to help you understand that when this truth drops in your heart, now you're not scared of hell. Now, every work that I do is not a dead work trying to earn my way into God's favor. I don't give because I'm scared of something. I give because I love God. And because I love him, I want to obey him. And because I obey him, there are blessings that come to my, I'm no longer, and the church has done a horrible job at this, because then it takes the leaders and the pastors out of control. Because they use hell as the get in line and get correct card. And so thousands, if not millions, of people have been controlled in denominations and in churches and all this by men and women who use hell as the thing. You do that, you're going to hell. And then people are like, I don't want to go to hell, so I might as well do that. You better give or you're going to hell. You better do this or you're going to hell. And God's sitting there, oh my gosh, they're getting the wrong representation of me. That's why he's called Transformation Church to represent. Like I'm trying to tell you that God's so in love with you that he made a plan for your eternal salvation. He knew you were going to mess up. So he sent his son. That's what we talked about all last week, is how Jesus was the eternal sacrifice for us. He became our high priest forever. We don't need any goats, any lambs, anybody sacrificing blood. We don't need none of that, because the lamb that was, do y'all hear the words that they call Jesus? The lamb that was slain? Like, it's because when he went to the cross, he paid the payment for every sin you would ever do. And the only thing you have to do to receive that, somebody say believe. And I know that's hard to believe. It is. Like, who's that good? Like, Who is nobody except God? And that's why I'm spending this much time trying to chisel away at religion and your own shame and guilt. Because I can hear some of you saying, Pastor Mike, but you don't know what I did and you don't know what happened to me. God did. And he sent his son for that. And he didn't send his son so you could act like it didn't happen. He sent his son so he could tell you, yeah, it happened, but I've washed you. That's another ED word, washed. Yeah. Yeah. Do y'all hear the language? He's not saying he will do it. He's saying he's already done it. But I can't convince you to believe what you haven't received. And that's why I'm telling you that this message of the grace of God, the unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor and kindness that none of us deserved, but God gives freely. When you receive it, you don't just start being better. You get saved. And I'm going to help you with another scripture. Oh, I just thought of another ED word. Oh, this is my favorite. Finish. Is that right? Finished. When he climbed up on the cross, his last, oh my God, his last words to humanity was, "It is finished." Oh! I'm trying to tell you that God did not come to do a half work. He came and he died and he said, "It is finished." Somebody give God a shout of praise in this place. Thank you, Father. So at 20, when I put my faith in Jesus Christ and I believed, I was saved. And then I got justified, redeemed, accepted, forgiven, sanctified. All of that happened not in my works. It happened in my belief. And what you got to understand is the world wants you to work for what God has freely given you. They want you to prove to them you've changed. You better watch who your Lord is, because you'll be doing ED words trying to prove it to somebody else who can't change nothing in your life. Well, prove to me you've changed. I don't, baby, because God said I'm sanctified. I'm redeemed. I'm accepted. You don't want me, but I'm accepted. I'm adopted. Ooh, that's another ED word. Adopted into the family. I'm going to be finding ED words all week. Because when you get that, you stop working for what you already have. Some of y'all been working for acceptance your whole life. And when you got saved, God said, "You're accepted." Well, I don't feel worth it. I feel used up. I feel, yeah, but when I sent my son and you put your faith in me, you were redeemed. I brought you back to a greater form than what you thought you was going to be. Look at Ephesians 1:3. And I want you to find all the past tense in this scripture. Ephesians 1:3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." Did it say will bless us? It says it's all has blessed us. That's past tense. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us. Is he going to choose us? He's already. It's past tense. So I want you to understand this, that God chose us. And look, it's the biggest past tense there ever is. Look what it says. Before the foundations of the world. You can't get more past tense than that. He decided to bless you, to choose you. You know what? Before the foundations of the world. Let's just, before they were formed in their mother's womb, let's go back before that. Because we like to quote Jeremiah 29:11, but God was thinking about you before that. Before he ever said ocean, before he ever said earth, before he ever said space and cosmos, you were on his mind. And when he said that, he said he chose that he was going to make you blessed when you believed. And he was going to do something in your life that you couldn't undo. You've been on God's mind. Some of y'all need to walk around and just say, I'm God's favorite. Like, he's been thinking about me for a long time. He's been on my jock. You understand what I'm saying? He wants me. See, you don't even think like that. You think he's after you to harm you. He's been thinking about you before the worlds were formed. Look at this. It says that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, how could we be holy and without blame except through the blood of Jesus? That's why he sent him, having predestined. Now, a lot of people get caught up on this, but predestined just means to have a predetermined destiny. And can I tell you that God has a predestined destiny for every person, a good destiny for every person who will receive it. And I'm telling you, that's where Jeremiah 29:11 comes in and says, I have plans for you, plans to prosper you. And because he knows, like, is that the truth? He says, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Like, that's what he wants for all of us. He said, he has adopted us, adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted into the beloved. Will we be accepted or are we accepted? It says he already did it. And that brings another scripture to mind where it just begins to talk about how we're not even our own, that we're God's and he's bought us with a price. See, this is a thing that you have to understand, that this is not just about your past, but I've got to focus here because your present and your future are impacted by you understanding what God has done for you. Like, yes, in our present, we need to grow as believers. In our present, we need to allow God to continue to change us from the inside out so that our future can go to a whole nother level and be able to be. We got to keep growing. I'm not saying stop here. God forgive me for all my past. I'm just going to sit here. No. We don't stay at that place. When you realize how good God's been to you, you want to move forward. You want to progress. You want to go to another level. And that's why I'm saying that we have to understand what God has done. Jump down to Ephesians 1 verse 11. It says, in him also we have obtained, and I love that, because have you ever seen those infomercials where they'll be like, and wait, there's more. Like, this is what, if the first part wasn't good enough, this is the, and wait, there's more. In him we also obtained. Will we one day obtain, or have we obtained? That's past tense. An inheritance. We've obtained an inheritance. Now, I don't know about you, but I would change my last name to Gates in a heartbeat if I got an inheritance. Bill Gates, if I could be part of his inheritance, baby Todd would be gone in a second. You would be Natalie Gates, okay? Like, if you could be engrafted into an inheritance, would you not do it? And God says, when you put your faith in Jesus, you now have been given, you've obtained. That means you have it, an inheritance. And I don't even got time to go into all of the things that come in the inheritance of God, but one thing that I feel very strongly to say is that you know that part of our inheritance as believers when we are saved is that we don't have to deal with sickness and we can be healed. Uh-oh, there's another ED word, healed by his strength. That's a past tense. That's not we will be. By his stripes we were healed. Oh my, y'all. And you don't believe it, because you'll pop an aspirin before you ask God to heal you. I believe in conventional medicine. I believe that's God using man and all that other stuff. But I'm trying to say, if God told us that we can be healed, duh, and it was part of our inheritance, when he was taking those lashes, he had your cough, your disease, your tumor on his mind. He said, keep hitting me, because somebody in 2018 is, oh, y'all better hear me. Keep on going, because somebody is going to need to be healed. These aren't future things. These are things that he's already done when we believe and we experience the salvation of God. So it goes on to say, we've received an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things, according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted, we trusted in Christ, should be to the praise of his glory. Verse 13, in him you have also trusted. He's talking to the church of Ephesians, but he's talking to us. See, when you have trusted or put your faith in him, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed. So our two things, we have to trust and believe. It said, y'all experience this after you trusted and you believed, then this is my favorite one. When you do that, it says you were sealed. I think Prophet Stevie Wonder said it best. That you have been signed, sealed, and delivered. God, I'm yours. This is what you have to understand. When you put your faith in God, you can lick it and stick it. You have been, everybody say, sealed. That means that unless you stop believing, nothing can take. I'm gonna say some controversial stuff right here, okay? So put your religious seatbelt on. But you don't go to hell for sin. Jesus has already paid for that. You go to hell for unbelief. So what are you saying, Pastor Mike? Don't stop believing. I think Journey said it. Don't stop believing. That's what I came to tell you. Keep messing up, but don't stop believing. I know you go to the alcohol to try to figure out how you're going to find peace, but if you stay in this long enough, if you keep coming with your drunk breath, if you get in the community still smoking weed and you don't stop believing, God said, I'm the one that does transformation. You're the one that has information, but information won't change you. Transformation power comes through what the blood of Jesus did for every one of us. And he says, your promise is the Holy Spirit. So don't stop. Believe it. I'm about to become a rock star. Why are you saying that? Because too many of the church is telling people, go get straight, then come back. Fix yourself. What? This is the hospital for humanity. If you got any belief in you, just get around some people and don't stop believing. Yeah, you still messed up, but don't stop believing. Yeah, you still got that issue that you deal with every third Saturday at 2 a.m. in the morning. Because you know the enemy works in cycles. And just when you think you're good, then it just comes up. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at the same time. So he sets traps that he knows you'll keep walking into. Oh. This ain't part of my message, but you've been in 17 relationships and they're different faces, but the same person. Ricky, Dylan, Trevon. Like, it's the same, because he just sets cycles. But what you have to realize is, even with the cycle, once you put your faith in Jesus, you are saved. Past, present, and future. And when you get that revelation, then everything starts changing. Hold on. I'm not going to waste my time thinking like, hopefully I don't mess up. Can you go ahead and write it in your journal? You're going to mess up. Take that out of your mind. You're going to mess up. But the Bible tells us very clearly what you have to do every time you mess up. Repent. And all that word means, turn. Like, you did it this way. You knew that was a sin. It cost you. Turn. You tried it that way. You messed up. It didn't make sense. Don't stay there. Don't wallow in it. Don't, oh my God. And I just got, might as well just. That shows a sign of immaturity because kids stop and pout when they mess up and get their stuff wrong. An adult says, okay, what do I need to do? I need to assess the situation. That don't work. I need to get up and I need to turn. And that's what God is saying to all of us. Church, just come to me. Repent. Turn. But once you put your belief in me, when you trusted, when you believed, you can stand confidently in the middle of the best days of your life and at your worst moment and stand boldly and say, I know I'm messed up right now, but I am saved. And I know some of y'all, it's just like, because it's chiseling at your religion. This has been 38 years, 90 years, 52 years of being judged on your works. And so now you don't want it for somebody else because number one, you done put in all this hard work and they just get to walk into, the truth has been there the whole time. Now it's revelation. It's revealed truth. And what I'm saying is we should want this for everybody. For them to know that if they put their faith in Jesus, help me say it, they are saved. Okay? Look at this last verse. In verse 14, it says, who is the guarantee, it's talking about the Holy Spirit, is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased, possession to the praise of the glory. 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says it like this. You are bought with a price. You're not even your own. You were purchased. And so all I'm saying to us is that everything God has done, he sanctified us. 1 Corinthians 11, I'll just show it to you in the word. And such, there's literally a passage in 1 Corinthians, and it lists all these sins and all these sinners. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through them, but take my word for it, you're in there. Okay, I promise you, it got you, okay? And look what it says. And it says, and such were, that's past tense, some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. You were washed, sanctified, justified. You are saved. I know it sounds redundant, but I need you to get it. So the question is, what do I do now? What do I do now? Look at Luke 15, 4. And I love how when people ask Jesus a question, he just went into telling stories. Well, Jesus, what do you do about this? There once was a man. Like, I love that. And this is what we're going to pick up right now, a story. It says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after one, which is lost, until he finds it. And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulder. Everybody say rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together all his friends and neighbors saying, yo, I found my sheep, Luke. I found him. Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. What does repent mean? Turn. There will be so much joy over one sinner who turns than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. That's the word of God. And when he told this story, people was looking at him kind of like y'all looking at me. So when they don't get it, he just goes into another story. Or there was a woman. Look at it. Having 10 silver coins. If she loses one coin, and you know the ladies need their coins. If she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors. Trisha, I found my coin, girl. Rejoice with me. Turn up with me. Bless the Lord with me. For I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Oh, that's good Bible. And some of y'all are mad, but this is scripture. Okay? So the question is, what do you do if you find something you lost? According to Luke 15, you rejoice. You tell everybody, you celebrate, I found what was lost. And right after this, the people still don't understand, so he goes into the parable about the prodigal son. Three examples trying to give us a picture. Y'all, when lost people get saved, rejoice. When you find out you're saved, rejoice. Turn up, because God is excited over your salvation. But let me ask this question. Maybe let me be a little more specific. What's the first thing you do when you found something that you've lost? You stop looking. And so many people stand in worship services looking for the favor of God, looking to know that they're not going to end up in hell and that they're saved. And a lot of people, even in this room, didn't participate in the worship because they were looking for something that if you've put your belief in Jesus Christ, you already have. Who finds what they're looking for and keeps looking? Girl, I'm looking for my keys. They're in your hand. I know, but I'm just still looking. And then we say little stupid sayings like this, like, it'll be in the last place I find them, or it'll be in the last place I look for them. Duh. Because that's where you're going to find. Stop looking for what at salvation is already yours. What do you do now? You stop looking. Even though you mess up, you stand in this place lifting up holy hands and say, Father God, forgive me. It's me, oh Lord. Like David said it like this, Father God, create in me a clean heart. Renew in me, Father, a right spirit. I know I'm messed up. I'm jacked up. I gave him my neck this week at work, Lord. And I sent a nasty email. But here I am. I'm repenting. I'm here for you to be Lord of my life. And see, some of y'all don't know about landlords or somebody who's a lord over, but if you've ever had a landlord, they give you certain rules and regulations and things to abide by, like don't paint this wall and make sure this happens and put a faucet, drip your faucet so this won't happen. They do that to keep your house safe. But the thing is that they're responsible if anything breaks. So if anything goes wrong, if anything goes off, they have to come be responsible. The thing that a lot of us haven't do is we haven't believed in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have not tied the two, because the things that he tells us to do is to keep us safe. But the other part of that is when anything breaks in our life, he's the one that fixes it. When he becomes Lord, when something's going wrong, I say, Daddy, Jesus, super, fix it, man. Come get this situation and you will get a response. But you only get that if he's your Lord and Savior. Can I be very honest with you? A lot of us have been in here yelling, I am saved. But you're not. Because the Bible tells clearly that it's not being saved in our mind. It has to drop to our heart. And when something's in your heart, it changes our actions. Like I'm not saying perfect. I'm saying that you start trying to do it a different way because you're no longer the Lord of your life. And if you haven't started trying to do it God's way, but you're still in control and you still make all the final decisions, and it doesn't matter what the Bible say, this is what I believe, these are my convictions, cool. But when it goes wrong, you gotta fix it. And this is what most of people's existence are, is them trying to fix their own humanity. Let me help you. You'll never be able to do it. Nobody has. But Jesus came so that we may have direct access to the one who can fix everything. And I want to be very clear, and I'm sober when I say this, because this is not my desire for anybody. But I need to be very clear. If you do not believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ and put your faith in him, and it's at a heart level, you're on your way to hell. And I don't say that because I want you to go there. I say that because I don't want you to go there. I'm saying that with every bit because I was on that path. I was self-righteous. I was judgmental. I knew church. I could play church. I could do, but it hadn't hit my heart. It hadn't made me stop using people and manipulating females and doing, it made, I was still doing my own thing in church. And that means that I really didn't believe, or how Ephesians said, I didn't trust. Remember it said believed, trusted. And today, I want every person under the sound of my voice to, with your mistakes, with your imperfections, with your life trials, to be able to go to sleep and wake up every morning and be able to say with confidence, no matter what comes, no matter what goes, I have put my faith in Jesus Christ and I am, help me, saved. Can we give God some praise right there?
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or our website at transformchurch.us/give. And don't forget to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this one. Now go and live a transformed life.